An amber-tinted image of old studio buildings ripples like water. The image is reflected in the golden edge of the Warner Brothers shield. Warner Brothers Pictures, a Time Warner company. A beam of light shines out from a lighthouse and sweeps across a shimmering blue ocean. Castle Rock Entertainment, a Time Warner company. Six silver V's nestled inside each other. Village Roadshow Pictures. Castle Rock Entertainment presents...
Some chefs call them lovebirds. A romantic dish for that special occasion.
In association with Village Roadshow Pictures, a Scott Hicks film.
Properly cooked, they're as tender as butter. They can be roasted, stuffed with wild rice or barley. Or you can broil them, poach them, barbecue them. You can even braise them. But there's no greater sin than to overcook a quail. Perfectly cooked, it must have a touch of pink on the breast. But you need the right quail. It has to be fleshy or it dries out too easily. I prefer to serve them roasted. That makes their taste richer and more robust. And a side of truffle ravioli and wild mushrooms goes deliciously well with them. Of course, you can also cook them in a pig's bladder, in a mix of Madeira and cognac. You see, the bladder helps protect the quail, keeps it moist. You could serve it with a tender sauce of thyme, spring onions, caramelized shallots.
Truffles? Truffles go perfectly with almost any quail dish because they elevate the delicate taste. Are you feeling okay?
I'm fine. Go on.
They wonderfully elevate the delicate taste of the quail. But you have to really be able to afford truffles. Otherwise, you're just gonna forget about it. Now, for appetizer, I suggest...
Kate, would you mind if I change the subject for a moment?
No.
Why do you come to see me every week?
My boss said she'd fire me if I didn't get therapy.
And why do you think she thinks you need therapy? Why?
You know what? I have the faintest idea.
No reservations. The woman, Kate Armstrong, raises her eyebrows. In a tidy restaurant kitchen, Kate, a pretty brunette in her late 30s, ties a dazzling white chef's apron around her waist. She checks some orders attached to a shelf.
Ordering two tasting menus, fire two amuse-bouche. Leah,
yes, chef.
I need a quail
fire
and a Dover sole for table nine. I'm still waiting on those three tenderloins.
2 minutes
ahead,
chef.
Pick up.
Coming up, chef.
Tureen, Capaccio.
One more to me, chef, in the window.
Excuse me, chef, but I thought you should know how Reese says a lamb has never been so good before.
Oh, really? And what would he know?
Hey, the Petersons are here. They want to tell you how brilliant you are.
Well, thank them, but brilliant chefs belong in the kitchen.
Oh, at least say hello. You know, they're some of my best customers.
In a minute. Just don't cook them too long, you know, because they get
tough.
No, dry, Leah. I get tough, quail get dry.
Oh, Kate, I want to go with the menu for next week.
Later.
Kate steps into a walk-in fridge and leans wearily against a rack. In the restaurant, she chats to a middle-aged couple.
You're a magician, Kate, and you know my husband sings your praises constantly. In fact, it's hard not to be jealous.
I worship anyone who can surprise my palate.
Well, it's always a pleasure to cook for you.
We'll see you next week.
Of course. Oops.
Good night.
Mr. and Mrs. Peterson leave. Kate shakes hands with another couple and makes her way back through the restaurant.
Nice to see you.
And I'm telling you, it's not cooked properly.
May I ask what this is about?
Kate, I'll handle this.
Ah, take it to the chef.
Yes, ma'am.
That's wonderful. There's something I'd like to show you.
Ken, don't do this.
My wife's foie gras hasn't been cooked long enough.
Excuse me, sir. Why don't I bring you a new appetizer with my compliments?
My foie gras is cooked just fine.
It's nothing to be ashamed of, honey. Even the best stumble over foie gras.
There's nothing wrong with this. It's precisely comme il faut.
What is that supposed to make?
Comme il faut, as it should be. 140 degrees in the oven, 80 degrees water temperature for 25 minutes, not too long, not too short, with a perfect touch of pink. Honey.
That's it. Take our business somewhere else. Let's go.
Ken and his wife walk off.
May I suggest Vinny's hot dog stand at the corner? He cooks to order.
In the kitchen.
How many times have I told you can't make a scene every time someone doesn't like your food?
Oh, please. The guy's a barbarian.
And a paying customer. He says the foie gras is not done. It isn't done.
Foie gras cruelty to animals.
Leah, stay out of this.
I swear to God, Kate, if you weren't one of the better chefs in the city, I would fire you tonight.
One of the better chefs? What's that supposed to mean? I bet she's just saying that to annoy me.
To her chefs.
She's just saying that to annoy me. Isn't she?
The busy chefs carry on with what they're doing. Holding two plates of food, Kate turns around, her lips pursed as she contemplates their response. Snow falls as Kate walks along a New York street. Her long hair, previously tied up in a bun, now hangs loose under a black beret. She steps through her front door into a modest apartment. She drops her keys into a bowl on top of a cabinet and places some mail down beside it. She checks her phone messages.
Mailbox 1. You have no messages.
Kate's fast asleep in bed. Kate blearily raises her head, then reaches out and turns off her alarm clock. It's 4:30. At a fish market.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good, Frank.
Some nice lobsters from Maine. Oh, that one's a little too small. Try this one.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll be delivered by 2:30, okay? And send those scrawny ones to La Fontaine.
Kate! I got 10 cases.
Who's your best friend?
You got it.
Did you ask me to?
Golden tilefish. Bomb!
Just for you.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Beautiful golden tilefish. Line caught.
Beautiful.
Give me a kiss.
Bob.
Give me a kiss.
Hey, how come I didn't get a kiss?
Come you didn't get a kiss?
Yeah.
You ain't got the goods.
What do you call
I don't
this?
See any golden tilefish by this? You.
Kate's cooking at home. Kate wears a blue apron over her black top and jeans. She hurries to answer the phone.
Hello?
Hey, it's me. I'm just checking in. We should be there about 9.
Oh, great. So I'll make sure I'm back by then.
Okay, cool. So what are you doing? Reading a recipe, right?
Christine, don't be ridiculous. I do have other interests.
Of course you do. Name one.
How's Zoe?
Adorable. She's changed so much since you saw her last. How about you, sweetheart?
I don't know.
So what do you guys want for dinner?
Oh, don't worry about us. We'll just grab a pizza or something.
I don't think so. So what does Zoe like these days?
She eats anything.
She's a vacuum cleaner.
Mom?
I'll call you when we get closer. Say bye to your Aunt Kate.
Bye, Aunt Kate.
Bye, Aunt Kate.
Kate walks down a flight of stairs in her apartment building. Seeing a neighbor, she turns back.
Hey, Kate, did you just get in?
No, I forgot something.
How are you?
Good.
Are you working tonight? I know this great little Thai place.
Actually, I am. Just for a couple of hours. My sister's coming into town with my niece.
I don't give up that easily, you know. One of these days, I'm going to convince you to have dinner with me.
Look, Sean, I think you should know I don't generally do that.
What, have dinner?
Dinner dates.
Oh, how about breakfast?
I live in my building. I don't generally go out with people in my building, as a rule.
You seem to have a lot of rules.
Kate carries on down the stairs as Sean goes into his apartment.
Didn't you say you forgot something?
Oh, thanks, right.
You're welcome.
She walks back up the curving staircase to her apartment. She unlocks the door and opens it, stands beside it for a few seconds, then closes it again. At her therapist's, Kate garnishes a plate of food.
So what's the problem of having rules? It's not as if I'm controlling or anything. I just prefer things to be done exactly right. That's why I usually end up doing everything myself. Do you have any idea how complicated it is to coordinate 40 dishes at once? I hope you like scallops.
No, I thought we agreed you weren't going to cook for me anymore.
I didn't cook it for you. I just tried some new ideas. Who else am I going to give it to?
She sits down as he tucks in.
Now, we're going to try something new this week. I'm going to ask you questions, and you're going to answer them. How long ago was your last relationship?
Kate turns away.
Isn't that a little personal?
No, this is therapy. How long?
I don't know, 3 years ago, maybe 4.
Who ended it?
I did. He was getting way too demanding.
How so?
Well, if you must know, after 2 years, you wanted to move in together. Did you try the saffron sauce?
And I'm sorry, what's so bad about moving in together?
He asked me to give up my apartment. Why would I want to do that? I'd move out, we'd get a place together, he'd eventually leave, then where would I be?
My God. The sauce is so good.
Thank you.
Mm.
At the restaurant...
Where's my lobster for table 12?
Waiting, sir.
I'm an actress, and I don't do naked bondage movies. The world is so full of pervs. That guy at table 10 is the worst. Every week, a new bimbo.
Welcome.
I swear, he leers at my tits one more time. He's gonna regret it.
The waitress collides with a colleague.
Damn it, Carlos, watch where you're going.
Pay attention, everybody.
Sorry,
sir. Buy two lobster right away. Okay, hold the nine.
I'm really sorry about that.
Just don't let it happen again, okay? Now you're gonna run out of lobster after I leave.
Kate, we're not gonna run out of anything. We're fine. Hydrate.
Mom already.
Well, I gotta practice while I can, right? Thank you.
Pregnant Leah takes the bottle.
Someone get the phone.
The waitress, Bernadette, gets it.
It is my sister. Tell her she said nine can't make it any sooner.
Yeah. It's for you.
Take a message.
Kate. I think you better take it.
Kate reluctantly walks over to the phone.
Hello?
One son.
Speaking.
Kate turns away from the hub above the kitchen as she listens. Her eyes fill with tears. Kate runs down a hospital corridor. She stops at a reception desk and speaks to a nurse, who points to a room opposite. Kate walks into the room, where young Zoe is lying in bed, her eyes closed. Kate walks around the bed and looks down sadly at her young niece, who has grazes above and below her right eye. A balding doctor in his 40s stands in the open doorway.
Miss Armstrong, Dr. Burton spoke on the phone. Zoe's doing great. She's gonna be fine.
Has anyone told her yet?
We thought it would be best for her to hear it from someone in the family. Do you know we can reach Zoe's father?
He's never been... I don't even know his name.
Dr. Burton.
I'm so sorry. I have to go, but I'll be back to check on her just a little bit, okay?
Dr. Burton pats Kate on the shoulder and walks away. She stares through the window at the sleeping Zoe. Morning. Kate's asleep on a chair next to Zoe's bed. Kate slowly wakes up and takes in her surroundings. She looks across at Zoe, who's staring at her. Aunt and niece gaze at each other for a few moments. Then Kate sits up.
Hello, Zoe.
Where's Mom? Is she dead?
Kate stares unblinkingly at the young girl.
She is, isn't she?
Tears roll down Zoe's face. Kate nods sadly.
Yes.
Zoe's anguished face is crumpled. A tear trickles down Kate's face. Kate walks wearily into her apartment. She removes her long red scarf from around her neck and walks over to the answer machine.
You have one new message.
Hi, it's me.
And me.
We just wanted you to know we're running late. Traffic's insane. We'll get there eventually. Bye.
End of messages.
Transfixed, Kate stands in the hallway clutching her coat. She turns and walks back towards the door. At the restaurant...
Now this is a beautiful 2002 Dolcetto. Any idea where it might be from?
Probably Piemonte.
South Australia, Adelaide Hills.
If Kate doesn't find a replacement for me soon, I'm gonna have this baby behind the stove.
I think that would be a health code violation.
Bernadette, look at the color of this wine. It's absolutely beautiful, and it's ready to drink.
They all turn and stare as Kate walks in and pass them. Paula puts her wine glass down.
Give me three words to describe this wine. Three words.
Did you know she was coming in?
In the empty kitchen, Kate ties her apron around her waist.
Kate, what are you doing?
What do you mean?
I thought you were going to take a few days off.
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Without looking at Paula, Kate walks away.
Give me one duck, two beef rare, and a rack of lamb. I'm still waiting on those tenderloins of beef.
2 minutes, yeah.
Pick up. I need a quail and a Dover sole for table nine. Okay, let's go, guys. Come on, let's move it. Tureen, carpaccio.
Carlos, I need more pan. Pronto.
5 minutes on the lobster.
And you're right away on table 13.
All right, one rare steak on the fly.
Right away, Steph. I got it.
Two duck breasts, two rack of lamb. Let's go, people. Why is there no food on the counter? Come on, we got tables. Where's my souffle for 14? Come on.
Concerned, Leah looks over at Kate, who seems distracted, her eyes filling with tears.
Dear Kate, the baby is gorgeous. I've called her Zoe, which means life. Now she's here, I'm beginning to get what a huge thing it is I'm doing on my own. So I want you to know, if anything should ever happen to me, you are the only person I would want to have her. I know you'll love my baby the same way I would. Listen to me. It must be the three-day blues. I love you, sis. Christine.
Kate crouches on the floor of the walk-in fridge with Christine's letter. Paula looks in at her through a window in the door. Distraught, Kate looks up as Paula enters.
Kate. I want you to take a week off. That's not a suggestion, it's an order.
Kate nods, her chin quivering. Paula takes hold of Kate's hands. In Zoe's hospital room.
What's up, Doc?
Allow me to introduce myself. My name is Wild...
Kate walks in.
Hello, Zoe.
Kate walks to the end of Zoe's bed and places a bag down on the overbed table.
I cooked us something tasty.
I'm not hungry.
Okay.
Kate takes the bag and places it on a chair by the window. She puts her handbag beside it and takes off her coat and scarf as she talks to Zoe.
You know you can leave on Friday. You know that?
Yes.
Zoe goes back to watching the Bugs Bunny cartoon. Kate sits in the chair beside her bed.
Zoe, you and I have to talk about what's going to happen.
Can I go back home?
I'm afraid not.
Why not?
Will you be alone there?
Zoe looks away.
Your mom asked me to take care of you. So you'll be coming home with me, okay?
Zoe gives a faint nod and turns back to the TV. A yellow taxicab drives along a New York street. Zoe sits in the back seat, looking out through the rain-splashed window as if in a trance. The cab pulls up and Zoe and Kate get out. Zoe slings a red rucksack over her shoulder and stands looking up at Kate's apartment building, a smart brownstone with a wide set of steps leading up to an arched entranceway. Inside, Kate shows Zoe around the apartment.
So the kitchen's just to the right there. The living room.
Kate walks down a hallway.
This is my bedroom.
Zoe walks slowly into her new bedroom. It's light and airy, with a large bay window and window seat, and a huge double bed. At a cemetery high on a hill overlooking the city, Zoe stares morosely at her mother's casket, which sits by the graveside. As other mourners begin to disperse, Zoe turns to Kate, and the two of them walk slowly away. A large, lifelike, cuddly toy giraffe is carried up the steps of Kate's brownstone. More toys and a bike are taken inside. Zoe carries a stuffed elephant.
The name is Nellie. I got her since I was three. She has a whole family. You should smell my other elephant.
A collection of cuddly toys are arranged around Zoe's room. She unpacks a rabbit.
Zoe, dinner's ready.
Okay.
A plate of vegetables and a fish with a gaping mouth is slid in front of Zoe.
Bon appétit.
Zoe sits and stares at her dinner in horror as Kate squeezes lemon over her fish.
Everything all right? What's the matter? Aren't you hungry?
Zoe shakes her head.
Can I go back to my room?
Sure.
Kate's smile fades, and she looks disappointed as Zoe gets up and leaves the table. Zoe sits in her bedroom playing with a red-haired ragdoll.
Zoe, I have to stop by the restaurant for a couple of minutes. Will you be okay here on your own for a little while?
Yes.
Now, if you need me, just press 1, that's my cell phone, and 2, that's the restaurant, okay?
It's only a couple of blocks away, so if you need me, I can be back here in no time. All right?
Okay.
I won't be long.
Zoe looks sadly down at her doll as Kate goes. Patrons sitting in a window table smile and chat as they enjoy a meal. Kate rounds a corner and enters the restaurant, walking straight past Paula, who's standing by the door, chatting to two customers. Kate makes her way through the crowded dining area. Hearing singing, Kate slows down as she nears the kitchen. She meets Bernadette coming out with two plates.
Hi, Kate.
Kate walks into the kitchen. Leah's standing with a man holding a pastry brush.
And he says, look at the stars. Gaze at the stars, Miss Tremble, with love.
Hello, Chef.
The man turns.
Oh, my God, it's you. I am begging you, will you please tell me the secret of your saffron sauce?
Excuse me?
Listen to this, guys. Listen to this right here.
He conducts.
He's like, fade the stars. Fade all the stars. So you guys are my string section. All I'll be saying is, in the morning, I am going to win. This is our love.
Watches in disbelief as the man raises his arms in the air and sings to the staff. He's holding an uncooked quail in his other hand.
All right, all right. Back to work.
Who do you think you are?
Nicholas Palmer. And may I just say, the world would be a dark and depressing place without your quail and truffle sauce.
Kate turns to Paula.
We need to talk.
You could have at least asked me.
I'm sorry. I couldn't wait any longer. Nick became available. I had to act quickly.
The last thing I need right now is some lunatic in my kitchen.
He's not a lunatic. He's a little exuberant. God knows we could use some of that around here.
Exuberant? Are you kidding me? The guy thinks he's Pavarotti.
Good evening. Do you have a reservation?
Yes, Matthews.
Matthews. Yes, may I take your coats, please?
Kate whisks the man's coat off him.
Let me show you to your table.
Paula leads the couple to their table.
Your waiter will be right over.
The only thing I insisted on when I took this position was that I get to choose who I work with. Leah would have been just
Leah
fine without me for a couple of days.
Kate and Paula go into a small glass-fronted room filled with well-stocked floor-to-ceiling wine racks.
Nick is an excellent.
I know nothing about him. I have no idea
give
what...
Give me some credit. He was a sous chef at Il Treviso.
Italian? You bring a sous chef from an Italian restaurant, and I'm the one in therapy?
We were lucky to get him. The Peninsula offered an executive chef.
Why didn't he take it?
Because he said he wanted to work with you.
Kate's speechless. She looks over at Nick, who stands grinning at her. Kate points at a pan on the stove next to him. The contents have caught fire. Kate shakes her head at Paula in disbelief, then grabs her bag and heads out. A flicker of a smile plays on Paula's lips. Kate wearily climbs the stairs to her apartment. A packet of chopsticks have been sellotaped to her door. She bends down and picks up a plastic takeaway bag. She takes the chopsticks off the door and walks inside. She walks down the hallway to Zoe's bedroom. Kate pokes her head around the open door, then tries to enter her own bedroom. The door won't budge. She forces it open a crack. Kate sees Zoe curled up asleep on her bed. Kate walks into the bathroom and enters her bedroom through an adjoining door. A chair has been propped up against the bedroom door to prevent anyone from entering. Kate walks over and moves it aside, along with a wicker laundry basket. Kate steps slowly towards the bed and picks up the remote control, which is lying next to Zoe. She turns off the TV. Kate looks down at her sleeping niece, then places the remote on a chest of drawers. She gently covers Zoe with the bedclothes, then notices a photo album which had been hidden beneath them. Kate moves the photo album around and begins to look through it. On one page, a photograph of Christine with baby Zoe. On another, a smiling Christine next to a birthday cake. A photo of Zoe with a teddy bear. A photo of Christine and Kate, their arms around each other, both grinning happily at the camera. Recent photos of Zoe. Kate closes the album and places it down on the chest of drawers. She turns off a lamp and makes her way slowly around the bed. Kate sits down on the edge of the bed and looks down wistfully. Next morning, Zoe stands by the bed, looking down at Kate, who's fast asleep.
Kate, wake up. Kate, school starts at 9. It's 8:20.
Sleepy Kate opens her eyes and looks at the clock.
Oh. Oh, no. Oh, jeez. Okay, let's get dressed. Oh, your dress. Okay, I'll be 1 minute. Do you need supplies or anything, like pens or paper?
I usually have those things.
Oh, I made your lunch yesterday. I hope you like duck.
Zoe's in her room.
Okay, come on, let's go.
I can't find my scarf.
Don't worry about it. I can't have you late for your first day of school. Come on, let's go.
I need my scarf.
Zoe, just use one of mine. We'll find yours later, all right?
Zoe stares at her. Kate sighs resignedly.
Let's go find your scarf.
In Zoe's room, Kate searches through a cardboard box. She pulls out a scarf.
Here it is.
Zoe shakes her head. Kate finds another one.
Is this it?
Zoe shakes her head again. Kate puts the pink stripy scarf back and begins to look through a second box.
That's it.
Great. That was easy. Let's go.
Zoe follows Kate into the hallway. Kate picks up her keys and grabs her coat.
Oh, your lunch. Could you get that, please?
Zoe stands and stares at the door. Kate walks back to her.
Why didn't you get the door?
You're not supposed to answer the door for strangers.
Right, yeah, that's smart. Oh, hi, Sean.
Any chance of some coffee? I've just run out.
Oh, sure. We're running a little late, but just one second.
Good morning. I'm Sean. I live downstairs. You must be Kate's niece. Zoe, right?
Zoe, wearing a red woolen hat and a multicoloured scarf, gives a brief nod, then looks away.
My kids are about your age. They'll be staying with me this weekend. Are you going to be around?
Zoe looks away. Kate comes back with the coffee.
Here you go.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
The good stuff.
All right. Let's go. Go quickly. Oh, and thank you for the Thai noodles last night.
No problem.
That was really nice.
Scores of children make their way towards a large brown brick building. Kate and Zoe walk along the street and stop by the side of a yellow school bus, which is parked outside.
Guess this is where you go in, right?
I don't know.
Right. Come on.
Inside the school, Kate and Zoe walk down a corridor decorated with children's drawings.
It's gonna be fine. Miss Armstrong, I'm Ellen Parker, the principal. Kate, you must be Zoe. Very nice to meet you.
Hello.
I'll take you to the classroom if you meet your teacher.
Ellen takes Zoe's hand and leads her away. Kate's with her therapist.
There has to be someone better suited to this. I have no idea what to do with a kid. Especially one who's lost her mother. How do the minds work? I can't get Zoe to eat anything I make. What am I supposed to do, force her?
Maybe she misses her mother's cooking.
My sister never cooked. She reheated.
Well, that's the point. Maybe Zoe needs something more familiar, less sophisticated. What did you eat when you were a kid?
It's not the same.
What do you mean?
My mother was an amazing cook. Of course, I was the only one who appreciated it.
And after your mother passed away, did your father take over the cooking?
No. He didn't take over anything. You were lucky if you even saw him at dinner.
So who took care of the two of you?
Can we not get into this right now?
Okay. What about fish sticks? Kids love them.
Fish sticks?
Yeah, you know, they're frozen and breaded.
I know what fish sticks are. I just can't believe I'm paying for these suggestions. Fish sticks.
Incredulous, Kate lies back on the couch. A gaggle of school children run down the steps of Zoe's school. Kate stands with the other parents and guardians on the pavement outside. She smiles as she sees Zoe walking out on her own. The two of them walk along the street together.
Did you learn anything interesting?
No.
Anything uninteresting?
No.
How was your teacher?
Bald.
Well, that's interesting.
At home, Zoe's at the table.
Ta-da! Fish sticks. You know, I was thinking the other day, I know so little about you. I mean, we're family, but I don't even know what your favorite color is.
Red.
Red? See, I didn't know that. I love red. Red's a great color.
Kate takes her plate to the table.
What's your favorite number?
No, you don't have to do this.
Do what?
Try so hard.
Kate hurries to the front door.
Coming!
A teenager with a nose piercing.
Hi, I'm Charlotte.
Kate looks the young goth up and down.
The agency?
Are you expecting another Charlotte?
Kate looks round as Zoe walks past, then turns back to Charlotte.
No.
Kate smiles awkwardly at the sulky young woman.
So can I come in or what?
Oh, sure. Come on in.
Charlotte steps into the apartment. Kate closes the door behind her.
Excuse me, one sec.
Kate walks off towards Zoe's room.
I told you, I don't need a babysitter. I'm not a baby anymore.
So what am I supposed to do? I just can't leave you here alone all the time.
Why not? I'm perfectly fine.
Zoe, you barricaded the door, remember?
I charge them when I get here, you know.
Yeah. Oh, I see you've brought something to read to Zoe.
It's for my thesis. Rapidly mutating deadly viruses. You know, like Ebola, that sort of thing.
Kate nods slowly. Then she and Zoe share a look.
Well, have fun at work.
At the restaurant.
22 Bleecker, can I help you? Table for five? Yes, I can seat you at 9.
I know.
Yes.
In the kitchen, Leah's with Nick.
How do you want the sea bass prepared tonight?
Tell them they're going to be served to some very important people.
Kate walks past them and turns off the CD player. Nick looks up.
You don't like music?
It's distracting my staff.
Nick, you're right. Pavarotti makes sex so much better.
Glad to hear it. Bocelli's good too, but only for shallow one-night stands.
Kate bristles.
Pronto, food, belly, now. Thank you.
The staff sit around a table as Nick dishes up spaghetti.
Bernadette.
Large and, that's it?
David, Richard, it's going to be, I think, all men.
I think I can handle it.
Good luck.
John?
A plate is passed along to Kate.
Oh, no, thanks.
Delicious chef.
Handsome, shaggy-haired Nick stares at Kate, a little put out.
Only a full cook can really judge food. When you're hungry, everything tastes better than it really is.
I never eat in the afternoon.
Well, I don't know about that, man.
Nick gives Paula a look. He takes the plate of spaghetti over to where Kate is sitting at the far end of the table and sets it down in front of her.
My grandmother whispered this recipe into my ear on her deathbed. She brought it over from the old country, and I made it especially for you today.
Hungrily tucking into their food, Leah and Bernadette watch Nick and Kate. Kate, who's been doing a crossword in the paper, sticks a pencil into her neat bun and takes a mouthful of the pasta. She looks up at Nick petulantly.
Happy?
Very happy.
Nick walks back over to Paula.
I thought your grandmother lived in Miami.
Well, you know. Oh, because we all thought she wasn't going to make it. It was like a miracle.
Kate glares at Nick, then, with a face like thunder, stands up and storms out.
It was a miracle.
In her office, Kate slices a menu in half.
You take care of those dishes, and I'll take care of these. That way, we won't get in each other's way.
Wait, your half is bigger than mine. All right. Look, I have some very big items. I got beef. I got fish. Rabbit. Showtime, folks. Let's go.
Kate gets back to her paperwork. Later in the busy kitchen. She goes over to Nick.
Have you seasoned that right?
Yes, sir.
Nick dips a spoon into a pan and holds it out for Kate to taste. Kate has her own spoon.
It's okay.
She walks off. Nick tries the sauce and looks pleased. Later, he stirs another pan. Nick smiles as he chats with Leah. Kate notices the two of them talking and looks over at them disapprovingly. Leah throws her head back and laughs. To her line cooks.
Okay, where am I? Where's my lamp?
Nick catches Kate's eye. He holds out a pan and offers her a taste of the food he's cooking. She shakes her head dismissively and wanders off.
It's wonderful.
A selection of mouth-watering desserts are arranged neatly on gleaming white plates. A circular chocolate pud garnished with raspberries, a delicate chocolate teardrop topped with a swirl of cream, an immaculate fruit tart. Kate uses a blowtorch to caramelize a fourth dessert. She turns away from her workspace and almost collides with Nick. He puts a plate down on the worktop and picks up a squeezy bottle of dessert sauce.
Pardon me.
Oh, I need that.
And you'll get it right back.
Kate picks up another bottle and begins to decorate a plate.
Can I ask you something?
Do I have a choice?
Where'd you learn to cook so well?
She briefly looks up at him.
My mother.
Your mother? Seriously? I thought you were going to say you studied under Alain Passard at Arpège or something.
I did. But my mom was better and she didn't throw plates at me.
Kate picks up a delicate sponge sugar cage and gently positions it over a white chocolate mousse on a bed of sliced strawberries. Nick watches over her shoulder, unnerving Kate. She breaks the cage.
God, I need more space.
Kate picks up the dessert plate and a plate containing a second sugar cage and moves to the other side of the worktop. Nick stares at her contemplatively.
Why are you so mad at me?
I'm not mad at you.
You're very mad.
Look, this is my kitchen. I've worked really hard to get here, and I'm not going to let you take it away from me, okay?
And what makes you think I want to take it away from you?
What else could you possibly want?
She walks off. In the walk-in fridge.
You treat me like a dog, Larry. I'm not a dog. I'm a human being. A human being, goddamn.
Oh, sorry, I have an audition. Would you mind?
Bernadette hurries out. Kate leans wearily against a shelving unit. She looks up as Nick enters the fridge and walks up to her.
Look, I don't need this job. I can work wherever I want. I'd like to work here because it's an honor to cook with you. But I'd rather work somewhere I'm welcome. So if you want me to go, you just say the word.
Want to tell me what's going on in here?
Well...
Kate looks away from him. Nick removes his apron.
Wait a minute, where are you going?
I'm sorry, Paula. You'll have to find someone else.
Kate, what have you done?
I didn't do anything.
They leave the fridge.
Nick, please, we need you.
Well, I'd have to hear that from her.
It's my restaurant.
Maybe your restaurant, Paula, but it's her kitchen. Without her, all this would just be a pile of hot metal and dirty dishes, so... She decides.
Kate turns to Leah, who looks back at her pleadingly. Kate eyes Nick coolly.
Seems you've left me no choice.
But you want me to stay?
Didn't I just say that?
She turns on the blowtorch.
I didn't hear those words.
I want you to stay.
Love to. Thought you'd never ask.
He walks off past her.
You're on fire.
Kate has absent-mindedly held the blowtorch to her side. A tea towel tucked into her apron has caught fire. Kate throws it to the floor and stamps out the flames. She turns off the blowtorch and puts it down, a little embarrassed. Kate arrives home. She looks around with a frown and makes her way through to the kitchen. A plate of cigarette ends sits on the table. She picks it up and empties the cigarette butts into the bin. Kate looks at a clock above the stove. It's 20 to 12. She makes her way down the hall to Zoe's bedroom.
And I know you guys are scared, but it's okay, because I'm here. But if you get really scared, you can wake me up and I'll hold your hand. Especially you, Louie, because you're the littlest.
Zoe? Hi.
Zoe's made herself a den under the bed.
When did Charlotte leave?
A while ago.
Kate nods, then peers under the bed. Zoe's got several stuffed toys with her.
Looks so cozy in there.
Zoe gives a brief nod and looks away from her aunt. Kate's smile fades, and she looks down sadly.
I have an idea. How about you come with me to the restaurant tomorrow night?
Zoe turns back to Kate. Zoe gives a faint smile. Kate kisses her fingers and touches Zoe's forehead. Kate pulls the valance sheet down, hiding Zoe from view. Kate stands up. She walks slowly out of the bedroom and makes to close the door behind her. She has a change of heart and leaves it open. The next day, Kate and Zoe walk down the street towards the restaurant. Forest green awnings hang above the windows, displaying the name of the eatery, 22 Bleecker, in unobtrusive white lettering. Paula looks up as they enter the restaurant.
Please.
Kate leads Zoe towards the kitchen. In the kitchen, a bored Zoe sits on a worktop swinging her legs. Kate chats to Leah.
I tried everything. No matter what I make, she doesn't eat it.
Why not try giving her some regular kid food?
You've been talking to my therapist?
Nick has overheard. Nick searches around on a shelf behind Zoe and brings out a bowl and a bunch of basil. He places the bowl down next to Zoe and sniffs the basil. He begins to pick the leaves, then holds the bunch out to Zoe. Zoe smells it.
It's basilico.
Kate sees Nick talking to Zoe. She watches as Nick gives a handful of basil to Zoe. The youngster hesitates for a moment, then begins to help him pick the leaves. Paula walks in.
Kate, your biggest fans are dying to see you.
Paula goes back into the restaurant. Later, Nick empties a pan of spaghetti and tomato sauce into a large pasta bowl.
Leah, can you finish the duck on table 5? I gotta take a break.
Yeah, sure.
Nick walks over to where Zoe's sitting. And sits beside her with the spaghetti. Zoe watches him a little shyly as Nick sprinkles some of the basil leaves over his meal.
All right, I need one tureen, two bisque, and a langoustine, please.
Nick winds the spaghetti around his fork and begins to eat. Zoe eyes the food hungrily. A waiter addresses the kitchen.
Table 12 is getting a little antsy. Will it be up soon?
Hold this.
Nick hands the bowl of spaghetti to Zoe and goes back to work. He watches her as she looks down longingly at the pasta.
Fire one duck, one sea bass, and a souffle, please.
Zoe looks over at Nick, then back down at the spaghetti. She gingerly picks up the fork and takes a mouthful. Nick continues to watch her as he works.
Working now, chef.
Zoe tucks in hungrily to the spaghetti.
Save some for me.
Zoe grins at him.
You know, in ancient Rome, guys used to chew basil before the prom to get rid of bad breath. It's true.
Walking back into the kitchen, Kate picks up her apron and ties it around her waist. She gapes in surprise as she sees Zoe devouring the bowl of spaghetti. Kate looks quizzically at Leah, who smiles and gestures towards Nick. He turns around and she mouths the words thank you to him. He nods with a smile. Zoe frowns at Nick.
They didn't have proms in ancient Rome.
They didn't? Are you sure? I thought they did.
Leah, wearing a thick winter coat, slings a bag over her shoulder as she leaves the staff changing room. To Kate.
See you tomorrow. Thanks, Leah.
Kate walks into her office where Zoe is slumped over the desk, fast asleep. Kate places a scarf around her neck and looks down at a drawing of a sailboat and a dolphin that Zoe's resting on. Kate carries Zoe through the kitchen. As she reaches the door, she turns back to Nick with a warm smile.
Good night.
He looks back at her kindly and watches them go. In Zoe's dark bedroom, Kate lays her sleeping niece down gently onto the bed. She undoes the laces on Zoe's red and white baseball boots and removes them. She places one of Zoe's stuffed toys down beside her. Zoe immediately cuddles up to it. Next morning, Kate reaches out to turn off her square-faced alarm clock, which reads 4:30. She turns onto her back and opens her eyes sleepily. Kate pulls on a dark, barber-style jacket as she walks through to the lounge to pick up her mobile. She heads towards the front door.
Where are you going?
Kate peers back up the hallway at Zoe, who's standing in her bedroom doorway clutching her cuddly kangaroo. At the fish market.
Hi, Bob.
Hiya, Kate. How you doing?
Good. What you got?
Oh, I got fresh bluefin. Just came in, like 5 minutes ago. I got baby mullets over there.
What's behind you there?
A bored-looking Zoe stands nearby.
Yeah, I'm gonna take some of those.
Unbelievably fresh.
She's still clutching her cuddly toy. She yawns sleepily. Back at home, Kate and Zoe are asleep on the sofa. Kate stirs. She checks her watch.
Zoe, wake up. I'm gonna be late for school. Here's your boots. Come on, let's go.
Kate hurries off. Later, they run along the pavement to the school.
Just tell him it was my fault, okay?
Kate watches Zoe as she climbs the front steps, opens the heavy front door, and goes inside. At the restaurant, Kate and Leah are with a mustachioed man.
Ladies, you are very lucky today. I have new shipment. They are from all over the place. Modena, Monferrato, Bologna, big stuff. It's a black truffle from Parma.
Leah sniffs it.
What do you have in white?
My best product. Very, very hard to find this time of year.
He reaches into a bag.
Where'd you get them from?
Oh, you know I never reveal my sources.
So how much for the white?
£2,200 a pound.
Oh, my God.
They're from Alba.
No. I think my water just broke.
What? Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you.
Oh, my God. Are you okay?
No.
Can you call 911?
No, police.
It's not the police. We need an ambulance. She's having a baby.
Oh, my God.
Okay, just keep relaxing.
We have pregnant lady Bleeker and Charles, 22 Bleeker Street. Her water just broke. Yes, 22 Bleeker, corner of Charles. Okay, thank you. Breathe, yes.
He conducts Leah as she breathes deeply.
Breathe.
Kate walks into her apartment with a smile, her long dark hair hanging loose in large soft waves. She hangs her bag on a hook by the door, drops her keys into the bowl, and begins to remove her coat. Her smile suddenly disappears. She grabs her keys and her bag and scurries out again. In a taxi.
It's a hard hit. Round the third, over to second.
Just on the left, you see the steps? Here, stop. Just wait.
Kate jumps out of the taxi and hurries towards the school. Zoe's sitting on the steps.
Sorry. I'm so sorry.
You forgot me.
It's not what you think.
You forgot me.
No, Leah had a baby. I had to take her to the hospital.
But you still forgot me.
Okay. I forgot you. And I'm so sorry. Come on, Zoe. Let's go home.
Zoe ignores her.
Zoe, come on, it's freezing out here. Zoe, move it.
Zoe stands up and strides peevishly towards the yellow cab. Kate follows her and gets in beside her. She pulls the door shut. At home, Zoe storms straight into her bedroom. Kate walks into hers. Kate's bedroom door opens and she slowly steps out into the hallway. She crosses to Zoe's room and hesitates for a moment before knocking on the door.
Zoe, I'm sorry. I totally blew it. I know I'm doing everything wrong. But I'm doing my best, okay?
Zoe lies on her bed, her back to Kate.
Why don't you think of something I can do to make it up to you?
Zoe turns and sits up a little.
You mean, like a wish?
Yeah. Yeah, you wish for something and I try and make it happen in return. Will you forgive me?
Aunt and niece stare at one another.
Can I save it for later?
Sure.
Kate looks down, then turns and starts to walk out of the room.
Kate, you're not doing everything wrong.
Kate gives a faint smile. At the restaurant, Zoe's peeling asparagus spears. Three black truffles sit on one side of her chopping board. Kate puts a plate down beside her and grates a small amount of one of the truffles over her roast quail. She then hands the plate to a colleague. Zoe picks up the asparagus trimmings and drops them into a bin. She picks up a truffle and sniffs it. Screwing her face up in disgust, she drops it and the other two into the bin. Kate comes back with a second plate. She looks around for the missing truffles and finds them in the bin. Kate retrieves the truffles. She takes out a yellow lockbox and opens it. It contains even more truffles. Zoe watches bemused as Kate puts the truffles into it. Watching, Nick smiles to himself. He chats to Zoe as he chops onions. Holding a large stainless steel bowl, Zoe kneels down in front of a box of potatoes. Nick picks a couple up and shows them to her. He chats on the phone in the office as Zoe fills the bowl with potatoes and walks off with it. Later, Nick holds a spoonful of sauce out to Zoe. She tastes it and nods her approval. Zoe teaches Nick some dance moves. They punch their arms in the air and point. In the restaurant, Nick dishes out pasta. The staff tuck in hungrily. Zoe passes a plate to Kate, who tries to pass it on. Her colleague already has a plate, so Kate hands it back to Zoe. Zoe stares at Kate. She taps her on the shoulder and holds the plate out to her. Kate takes it somewhat reluctantly and begins to eat. Nick raises his eyebrows at her as if to say, "So, what do you think?" Kate nods and smiles at him warmly. Zoe and Kate are in a park.
Kate?
Yeah.
You're not working tomorrow, are you?
Nope.
And Nick isn't working tomorrow, is he?
Sunday, we're closed. Why?
Zoe, who's been walking along park benches next to Kate, stops and leans across to whisper in Kate's ear.
Why's that?
It's my wish.
Zoe jumps down and walks ahead. In the restaurant...
It was Zoe's idea, not mine.
Oh. How come I knew that?
She says she prefers Italian.
Your kitchen or mine?
Wouldn't it be easier to do it here?
Mine. We'll use mine.
But my kitchen's fully equipped.
Perfect. Shall we say noon? I'll do the shopping.
Nick heads into the kitchen, donning his white apron. Later, Kate draws back a curtain to look down at Zoe, who is pacing on the wintry street outside the apartment. Kate smiles and goes down.
Aren't you cold?
He's late.
Then.
Zoe stands on a stool in the bathroom, plaiting her hair.
I'll be right there.
Hello.
Help.
Coming.
Zoe runs to the apartment door, flings it open, and heads downstairs.
Hey, you.
Yeah.
Afternoon, Chef.
I'll get that.
Got the goodies. Where's the kitchen?
Yeah, right. Okay, yeah.
Hey, sous chef, put on your apron. Now, you have a cast iron pan.
Of course I have a cast iron pan.
Ah, good.
Nick checks Kate's cupboards. Kate takes a box from his bag.
No. Don't touch my Tupperware. Tonight, Zoe and I make dinner, and only Zoe and I. Zoe?
But I could help.
But it's my wish.
Zoe ushers Kate out of the kitchen.
Tonight, we're making pizza. Pizza pans, please, sous chef.
Okay.
Gotta get the flour, little eggs, and roll some dough, okay?
Okay.
Nick shows Zoe how to make a pizza base.
Okay. Get with your fingers in there.
You
nice and round. And then when you're ready,
uh-huh.
That and you do like that. That's the first thing you taught me. Both hands. You gotta know how to do it, okay? You see? Like that's what drapes over. Right? Yeah, good. And then just go like that. Then you gotta sing Italiano, you go like that. La la la. And you slap it down like that. Remember what I told you? You can do it.
Brava!
Kate, we're ready! New shoes.
Okay.
Close your eyes. Come with me.
She leads Kate by the hand.
What's the secret?
You'll see. No peeking. Almost there.
A picnic is laid out on the lounge floor.
Okay, open your eyes. Surprise!
Wow. I guess we're not eating up a table.
We don't have one. We're on safari.
Oh, I see. Oh, you forgot the plates.
No, no. Sit down. We don't need plates.
No plates?
No plates.
Dirty plates attract the big cats.
Oh, we certainly don't want the big cats. Let me guess who made the pizza.
Me.
Really?
Sitting on cushions in front of a roaring fire under a sheet stretched out like a safari tent, the trio share the pizza. Zoe pretends to be an elephant. The three then play pickup sticks with breadsticks. By the light of several candles, Zoe acts out a charade.
The king vampire. The king turtle. The king, the lion king.
Yes.
Work strips down tall candlesticks beside a half-empty cafetiere of coffee. Zoe's fast asleep on a cushion.
I should put it to bed.
Allow me.
Thank you.
Nick crawls round to Zoe and lifts her from the floor. His shadow cast on the side of the sheet tent as he carries her out. Kate takes out a small tray with two espresso cups on it. She pauses to look down the hallway and watch Nick as he gently carries Zoe to her bedroom. She turns back and stares ahead thoughtfully. Later, the pair are tidying up.
So where did he go to cooking school?
Oh, as a young child, I sat at my grandmother's knee.
Oh, yeah, in Miami, right.
It's in Pittsburgh, actually. My father was a steelworker.
But you did go to cooking school.
Are you kidding me? Cooking was for girls. After high school, I went backpacking through Italy. I owe my entire career to a girl named Sophia.
Sophia?
She's my first love. She's an older woman. 19. Her father owned a little trattoria in Tuscany. He's a brilliant chef and he taught me everything he knew. Sophia told him we were just friends, so he gave me a job in his kitchen. And I fell madly in love with food. Italian food. Everything Italian, actually.
So what happened to Sophia?
Well, our father found out what we were up to and he fired me.
It's too bad.
No. It opened a lot of doors. I spent the next couple years working in some of the best restaurants in Milan.
So how come you're not running your own kitchen by now?
I don't know. I guess the right offer hasn't come my way.
It's So what would you do if you had your wish?
I got my wish.
Nick opens the fridge and takes out the Tupperware box Kate found in his bag.
I made it this morning.
I'm not a dessert person.
You haven't tried my tiramisu.
They sit on the lounge floor with a tiramisu between them. Kate's face brightens as she tastes a spoonful.
Well, maybe I am a dessert person.
The candles and firelight illuminate the room. Nick moves across to sit beside Kate.
You know, in Italian, tiramisu means food of the gods.
No, it doesn't.
Shit. Yeah, but there's some cream right there.
Nick reaches out and wipes a spot of cream from the right side of Kate's mouth. He licks the cream from his finger and gazes intently at her.
I should go.
Kate's face is turned towards Nick. She looks away briefly and nods. He reaches behind Kate and moves nearer. Lips almost touching, she leans back against his arm.
You're leaning on my scarf.
Oh, right, yeah. Sorry.
Kate shifts awkwardly as Nick puts on his scarf. He stands, picks up his jacket from the back of the sofa, and puts it on as he enters the darkened kitchen to retrieve his pans.
Good night.
Kate smiles serenely to herself. At the therapist's.
He's so unpredictable.
In what way?
In every way. He never does the right thing at the right time. He's...
Kate, life is unpredictable.
Not in my kitchen.
I'm sure you'll be able to prevent the worst.
The worst?
That he'll tolerate you for any length of time.
What is this, some new kind of therapy? Insult the client?
Only the finest therapists use it.
He spins around in his leather chair and Kate furrows her brow.
So I'll see you after school, okay?
Okay.
Have a good day.
Everything?
Hello, Kate. We're on time. Do you have a minute? Sure.
Kate joins the headmistress in her spacious office.
I've been speaking to Zoe's teacher. She's been sleeping in class a lot. Do you know what her explanation for this is?
No.
She says it's her late work hours. She tells her classmates she's working as a kitchen assistant in your restaurant to earn her room and board.
Is she?
If I actually believed that Zoe was working late hours in a restaurant, I'd need to contact Child Protective Services.
That won't be necessary.
I know that. It's better for everyone when children are well cared for by their relatives. I'd hate to see Zoe end up in foster care after all she's been through. But I'm confident that you will address this. There'll be no need to go that far. I'll be checking in on Zoe, and we'll talk again, sir.
Kate leaves. In the park, Zoe is walking on the benches.
And then Mr. Daniel's cell phone rings, and he answers it and talks through the whole class. It was so funny.
Zoe, we need to talk about something. You can't come to work with me anymore.
Why not?
Because I'm afraid they're going to take you away from me.
But I like going to the restaurant.
I know you do, but it's just not right for a little girl to be up so late, you know?
You don't want me there.
No, that's not true. No, you just need to get a good night's rest. You hear me? You don't want to end up being taken away.
Who cares? He didn't want me anyway.
Zoe runs off.
Zoe?
Kate chases after her.
Zoe! Zoe! Zoe!
Zoe narrowly avoids being hit by a yellow cab as she runs across a busy road. Kate dodges the traffic to follow her.
Zoe, stop it! Stop it!
Let me go! Let me go! I want my mom!
Kate steps back and watches helplessly as Zoe runs off. Later, Zoe is on her bed looking at the photo album.
Zoe? Can I come in?
No.
Zoe, please, I'm sorry.
Go away.
As Zoe flicks through the album, she finds a peacock feather like the one she was playing with shortly before the car crash. She sighs and her eyes well with tears. Kate goes down to Sean's apartment.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Is your dad there?
Yeah.
Dad!
Hey. Hi.
Hi, Sean.
How are you?
Good. Can I ask you a favor?
Of course.
I know it's last minute, but I have to go to work soon, and Zoe and I had a little fight.
Does she want to come down, or you want me to keep an eye on her?
If you could just check on her once in a while.
No problem. Oh, take it inside, guys. You got a key?
Sure, I got one. Thanks, Sean.
Hey, how are you doing?
All this is pretty new to me.
I know what might help. I call this number, Anna. She's a godsend with kids. Saved me right after my divorce. I'm sure she'll be able to watch Zoe for you whenever you need. No problem. Guys, if you're going to play for Ireland, you're going to have to get stuck in a bit.
Ms. Armstrong introduces bits of truffle in an endive salad that accompanied a lightly steamed and wondrously silken halibut fillet that was highlighted by the gorgeous aria of her saffron-infused emulsion. This guy can't decide if you're a cook or a composer. The artistry of her signature quail with truffles made it clear that she brought in a great sous chef to complement her distinctive style.
Says that?
Just making sure you're paying attention. You look like you need a drink.
I never drink at work.
In the dark and deserted kitchen, Kate and Nick share a plate of food and drink red wine across a serving counter. They talk happily together.
Tell me what else you never do.
What do you mean?
You never eat dessert. You never drink at work. I'm kind of hoping you'll tell me you never go out with guys who sing opera.
I never go out with guys who sing opera.
Yes. In the pouring rain, Nick dashes out of his truck outside Kate's apartment building. She puts up an umbrella as he helps her out.
Whoa.
They climb the spiral staircase inside the building.
So I've got one for you. What are the three secrets of French cuisine?
Oh, come on. Everybody knows that.
Oh, yeah? So what are they, smarty pants?
Butter, and butter.
You're good. You know, you didn't have to do this. It's not like I'm drunk or anything. Oh, wow, Sean. Hi. Nick, this is Sean. He lives downstairs. This is Nick. We cook together.
How are you?
You obviously don't live in the building.
How is Zoe?
Sound asleep. She's a great kid. Have a good night.
Thanks, Sean. Yeah, so sweet. He was just keeping an eye on Zoe. Oh. Just a sweet, nice guy. And I couldn't wish for a better neighbor. Mm. Yeah, he's always just so... Totally,
Nick leans in and kisses Kate full on the lips.
Take an aspirin.
Yeah.
Nick looks back briefly as he descends the stairs. Kate grins to herself. In the amber half-light of her darkened room, Kate is fast asleep in bed. The door is ajar. The hallway light comes on and Zoe slips past the open door, clutching a video. Kate stirs as she sees Zoe. Wearing pajamas, Kate wanders down the hallway towards a dull, flickering light emanating from the lounge. She pauses outside the open lounge door. Zoe sits on the floor. Zoe watches a home movie of Christine frolicking on a dull, windswept beach. She flaps her arms as if pretending to fly as she runs down to the edge of a grey sea. Kate enters the lounge and joins Zoe on the floor. Now the TV screen fills with Christine and Zoe's ecstatically happy faces. Christine kisses her smiling daughter on the cheek and beams back at the camera. Attractive, long blonde-haired Christine throws back her head and laughs joyously. Tears well in Zoe's doleful eyes. Kate looks away from the TV and down at Zoe. She puts an arm around her niece. Zoe leans into Kate as the video plays. Christine is running along the beach, waving back at the camera, her jacket and scarf flapping behind her. The grainy video comes to an end. Morning. Kate and Zoe are in Zoe's bed. They lie facing each other, Zoe with her arm on Kate's shoulder. Daylight fills the room and Kate watches the sleeping Zoe. Zoe stirs.
It's time to get up, sweetheart.
I don't want to go to school today.
Guess what? I don't want to go to work today.
Really?
Today is just going to be you and me.
A smile flickers across Zoe's lips, then she closes her eyes again. Kate places an arm around Zoe, and she too closes her eyes. At the restaurant, Bernadette reads a letter.
To all the gang at 22 Bleecker, let me introduce you to my little hors d'oeuvre.
Come on, let's see the photo.
Emma Jillian, here we go, 7 pounds, 3 ounces.
She's adorable.
She can't wait to meet you all. Love and kisses, Leah.
Kate's late.
She asked for some time off. Something personal came up.
At Kate's.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yes, Park Place. And with a hotel, $1,500.
I don't have enough.
Mortgage, baby, mortgage. Come on. I love this game.
They play Monopoly.
Come on. All right, thank you. Right, so what do I need? I need a 9. Give me a 9 and there's free parking all the way. Here we go. Yes!
No! 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There, no! No.
I'm rich. I'm rich. Oh! You know what this means, don't you?
No, what does it mean?
War!
Sitting on Zoe's bed, the pair pillow fight over the Monopoly board. Now Zoe runs out of her bedroom and down the corridor, chased by Kate, who ambushes her coming out of the lounge. Feathers fly as Kate and Zoe gleefully batter each other with their pillows. Kate pushes Zoe backwards onto the sofa. Exhausted, the pair collapse onto the hall floor. Feathers drift down around them. At the restaurant, Nick commands a hectic kitchen.
Come on, chef. Feel alive. How's that ribeye doing, you guys? I need 2 sea bass. All right, pancetta, goat cheese, oysters, steak tartare, grilled ribeye. How much longer on that ribeye, Mario?
Ribeye rib coming up, chef.
Come on, let's pick it up. And I needed that souffle 5 minutes ago, guys. Come on, let's go.
The dining room is packed. Paula and her waiting staff move busily around the tables. Later, she and Nick relax with a brandy.
We did 110 covers tonight. Everything was excellent. You've really mastered the menu, Nick. You put your signature on the dishes, and all the regulars have noticed. How would you like to stay on permanently?
I think I'd like that. If it's okay with Kate.
Paula eyes Nick with a smile. Kate's fast asleep in bed. Kate flicks on her bedside lamp. She rises and, wearing her dressing gown, answers the intercom.
Who is it?
Do you have any idea what time it is?
It's very, very late.
Hey, kitchen was a very different place without you tonight.
I'm sure you did just fine without me.
Mm-hmm. It was hell.
That's better.
Nick and Kate sit across from each other at a desk in the lamplit lounge. He spoon-feeds the blindfolded Kate some sauce from a container between them.
Cognac. White wine. Celery. Leek. Shallots. And garlic.
Mm.
In the soft glow of the lamp, Nick observes Kate with a smile. He pretends to spoon more of the sauce and Kate opens her mouth ready to taste it. Nick draws the spoon away a couple of times and watches her full lips open and close. Then he leans over and plants a kiss to one side of her mouth. The couple move apart slightly and Kate pulls off her blindfold. She moves back in towards Nick.
I'm getting truffle.
Nick's face edges towards Kate's and this time he kisses her fully on the lips. The couple begin to kiss more urgently. Kate brings her hands up to cup Nick's face and she stands. Her eyes are closed and her face is relaxed into a serene ecstasy as Nick kisses her neck, then returns to her lips. Finally, Kate falls into Nick's embrace. Next morning, Nick strides down the hallway rattling a spoon in a saucepan.
Pancake time!
In Zoe's room.
Pancake time.
Where's my sous chef?
Pancakes?
Mm-hmm. You wanna help me?
Hey, flip it. Nice. You start your own restaurant. Called Zoe's.
I'll call it Nick and Zoe's.
Excuse me? I did squeeze the orange juice.
Okay, Nick and Kate and Zoe's.
Ah, I like the ring of that.
Don't want none of my
Zoe. Zoe, I am now going to kiss your aunt.
This is so embarrassing.
So how are we going to work together now?
We'll do what we always do. You tell me what to do, and I'll go behind your back and do whatever I want. You can count on my
love. Zoe, Kate, and Nick are piled into a photo booth. Outside, Kate screams with glee at the pictures. The trio walk down a cold, sunny New York street. Nick has Zoe on his shoulders. All three wear coats, scarves, and woolly hats. They dart across the busy street to a Chinese vegetable shop.
Excuse me?
Yeah? Do you have any kaffir or lime leaves?
Over there. You touch you, but.
No.
Manga.
What do you need those for?
We'll see.
Here they are.
One for you.
Smells good.
You like it? One for you.
How do I know this smell? Is this your saffron sauce? Apparently we have no secrets anymore.
You touch.
I know, I buy.
Bye.
$2.
Thank you.
They leave the shop. All three wear cycling helmets as they pedal a bicycle made for three. The sun sets against the Manhattan skyline as they pedal alongside the river. Nick sits up front. Later in the evening, they come across a street artist copying a fantastical picture of a ballerina onto the pavement in coloured chalk. Nick and Kate hold hands. Zoe beams up at them as she admires the drawing. The staff are gathered at the restaurant to review the menu.
Today, for our entree special, we are offering a Hudson Valley free-range duck over a butternut squash puree, And that is served with patty pan squash and blood orange and finished with a mushroom sauce made up of a variety of wild mushrooms.
From the
cognac region.
What do you think?
What's that?
Nick came up with the great idea of sending mini desserts home in a box.
And that is wrapped
in... It's so obvious.
Cherry tomatoes.
So obvious.
And Nick, I love those wines you recommended for the new menu.
Well, you're going to have to discuss that with Kate. John, tell us about the asparagus dish.
We're also serving as a special, a side, rather an appetizer, with asparagus and chipolini onions, and it has a side of sliced watermelon radishes.
Table five's coming up in 2 seconds, Chef.
In the kitchen, Nick completes a vegetable garnish on a dish and lays it out for a waiter. Kate eyes him with suspicion. Paula strolls in from the dining room.
Nick. The couple at table 8 wants to say hello. They're drooling over the sea bass.
Kate's responsible for all the food.
Well, she won't mind. She hates leaving the kitchen.
Interesting. What else can you tell us about her?
You know what? I'm not going to get into this. I don't care who goes out there, but if it is you, do me a favor and try not to stab anyone who complains.
Don't look at me.
You, me, in there. Now.
Nick is wide-eyed with surprise as he watches Kate stride off to the walk-in fridge. He joins her.
So what's the story?
What do you mean?
Well, I turned my back for a couple of days and it's nicked the wine, nicked the customers, nicked the boxes.
She offered me your job.
What? Why didn't you tell me?
I didn't want to upset you. I was going to tell you.
I knew I couldn't trust you. The moment I met you, I knew I couldn't trust you.
The truth is that you can't trust anyone, can you?
Well, that's right.
You've never trusted anyone in your entire
life.
Guess
what? Why should I when this happens? Why didn't you have the guts just to run your own kitchen, Nick? Instead of coming in here and taking over mine.
Is that what you think?
That's exactly what I think.
The couple stare at each other. From the kitchen, they're framed in the window of the fridge door.
You know, Kate, it's okay to let people in sometimes. Maybe one of these days you'll figure that out.
You don't understand. This place is my life. This is who I am.
No, it's not who you are. It's only one little part.
Kate is left thoughtful. She returns to her apartment where a woman in her 60s waits on the sofa.
Anna, it's me.
Hiya.
How'd everything go?
I think we did well. We played Monopoly.
Who won?
She did.
Thanks a lot, Anna.
Kate locks the apartment door, turns out the hall lights, and saunters back into the room. Passing a side table, she presses a button on the answer phone, then lifts a remote and turns off the music.
Mailbox 1. You have one new message. Monday, 11:54 p.m.
Oh, and for the record, I did turn her down.
End of messages.
Oh, and for the record, I did turn her down.
Kate stares thoughtfully. She heads towards her bedroom.
Kate. Still awake?
Where's Nick?
He went home after work. Get some sleep.
Kate?
Yeah.
You can sleep with Louie if you want.
Hmm? Oh, honey. That's sweet of you. He needs you, I'm fine. Good night.
Zoe cuddles up to her furry kangaroo. Kate goes into her room.
Night.
Zoe rolls onto her side. At the restaurant, Paula tackles Kate as she prepares dishes.
You had no right driving him out of here. This is my restaurant.
You've made that abundantly clear.
You better find me a replacement fast.
Didn't need my help with the last one.
Kate.
Okay, I'll find someone.
Kate interviews a series of applicants.
Like a certificate or something?
I don't have that little piece of paper, you know what I mean? But there's guys out there driving on the street without a license, you know, and they got that license, they can't drive, so, you know.
Well, my specialty is in the beef area. I deal with meats all the time, sausage, beef, slaughter and pork.
I'm famous for my Vietnamese pork chops with saffron mashed potatoes and key lime asparagus.
I get along great with people, really. I'm actually a big people person.
Oh, I'm a people person.
I think I'm a team player so long as everybody follows my lead.
There was a misunderstanding between me and the head chef and the manager and the owners.
Fired is like, you know, that's, you're fired, you know, but no, I think we parted on amicable terms.
At the apartment, Zoe watches TV as Kate works at her desk.
Why doesn't Nook come to see us anymore?
We had a kind of a fight.
What about?
Just silly grown-up stuff.
Zoe returns to watching the black and white gangster movie on the TV.
How come you don't want to tell me?
It's not that I don't want to tell
you. Is he ever going to come back?
No, he isn't, sweetheart.
Zoe's eyes dart around as she thinks. Suddenly, she rises resolutely from the sofa, strides out of the open plan lounge and down the hallway past the double doors opening onto Kate's desk.
Zoe?
She ignores Kate. Kate remains at her desk. In her room, Zoe sits on her bed with a scarlet-haired, smiling ragdoll resting on her drawn-up knees. She pulls up the doll's striped skirt and red polka dot top. Stitched into the doll's body are the words, "To Zoe, love Mummy." Zoe considers the words with downcast eyes, then replaces the doll's clothing. She stares into the doll's face.
Zoe, you awake? I'm done. You having breakfast?
Wearing a white dressing gown and with damp hair, Kate strides down the hallway.
Zoe!
Kate is outside Zoe's school.
Nick, it's me. Is Zoe with you?
I got up this morning and she was gone. I'm here right now. They haven't seen her.
I don't know. I told her about us last night. She was upset. Oh my God!
What did the police say?
They checked the bus station and the train station. She could be anywhere.
She's a kid. She would probably choose some place she knew, right?
She went to school and a restaurant, that's it.
They drive around in Nick's blue pickup truck. Kate holds her hand to her mouth. She runs her hand through her hair.
Kate, it's gonna be fine. She's gonna be all right. You know what? Maybe we should check if she's gone back home.
Zoe?
Maybe she left a note somewhere.
She's not here.
Kate moves around to the side of Zoe's bed and catches sight of the cuddly toys on her pillow. She considers them briefly, then picks up the furry kangaroo.
Did she take her backpack? She didn't pack anything.
She didn't take Louie.
What?
She wouldn't run away without Louie, right? I let her down, Nick.
Hey.
I feel like I've made a mess of everything.
We're gonna find her, okay? I promise.
She needs her mother. She just needs her
Kate.
Mother. I think I know where she might be.
They drive past leafless trees into the bleak, deserted cemetery.
There she is, right there.
Oh, thank God. Zoe, are you all right? Zoe, please don't ever do that again.
I was so afraid something happened to you.
Sweetheart, what is it?
I'm afraid I'm gonna forget her.
Zoe returns the hug that Kate has given her. Both crying, Kate kisses Zoe's cheek and gently wipes away her tears. The pair separate.
And we can come here whenever you want, okay?
Zoe mouths an acknowledgement, then turns to pick up her red rucksack. They stand. Kate brushes off her long black coat and takes Zoe's hand as they walk away from the grave towards Nick, who's been watching from a distance. Amid the faded flowers on the grave is Zoe's peacock feather, fluttering in the breeze. Nick drives Zoe and Kate home. As he pulls up, Zoe turns to him.
You're coming aren't you, Nick?
Not today, sweetie. You
guys still mad at each other?
No.
Kate and Zoe climb out of the truck and Kate hands her the keys.
See you upstairs. I just want to say I'm sorry, Nick. I don't apologize.
I actually want to thank you. I thought a lot about what you said about me not having the guts to go after what I want, and you were right. That's why I took a job in San Francisco, an executive chef at a new restaurant.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't have done it without you.
Nick offers his hand, which Kate takes, her eyes fixed longingly on him. Nick squeezes her hand and she pulls away. She closes the door and looks at Nick through the window.
Executive chef.
Kate stands alone in the sunlit street as the truck drives away. Evening, the busy restaurant kitchen.
Guy at table 7 said if he wanted it cremated, he wouldn't have asked for it rare.
That is rare.
Apparently not rare enough.
Any rarer to walk out of here and hail a cab.
Look, these are ad agency people. They spend a lot of money here. No tantrums tonight. Just fire another one.
All right, one rare steak on the fly.
Rare steak on the fly.
Where's the lamb for 6?
Have a crab. Great, chef.
Pick up. Shireen Capaccio.
Bernadette re-enters the kitchen.
And the asshole on 7 again. He wants to know whether you've ever seen a rare steak before.
Brandishing an uncut steak held high on a carving fork, Kate marches out of the kitchen, through the dining room, and up to table 7.
Rare enough for you?
You out of your mind?
Yeah, that's why I'm in therapy.
I'm so sorry. I'll get you a new tablecloth.
Oh, no, please, let me take care of that.
Not bad.
Oh, that felt so good.
Kate tears off her apron, thrusts it at a waiter, and strides out.
I just want a steak.
Paula stares blankly as Kate hails a cab and gets in.
I wish there was a cookbook for life, you know? With recipes telling us exactly what to do. I know. I'm gonna say, how else can we learn, Kate?
No, actually, I wasn't gonna say that. You wanna guess again?
No, go ahead.
What I was gonna say was, you know better than anyone. It's the recipes you create yourself that are the best.
On her therapist's roof terrace overlooking Manhattan, Kate turns and eyes the man with realization. In a shabby elevator, Kate clutches a copper saucepan wrapped in a tea towel. She steps out onto a landing lined with a discarded metal trolley and window grill. She walks up to a badly stained double door marked 12A. She hesitates, then knocks.
Hold on just a second.
I think you should notice something else I never do.
What's that?
I never invite myself into a man's apartment, blindfold him and feed him saffron sauce while begging him not to go to San Francisco.
You never do that?
Never.
It's too bad.
Without taking his eyes off Kate, Nick steps back from the door, revealing an open-plan loft apartment beyond. She crosses the threshold and approaches Nick. He looks down at her mouth and moves tentatively in to kiss her, pushing the door shut as he does so. Both in chef's whites, Nick and Kate stand back to back in a kitchen. She whisks a sauce, he ties fillets of beef. They turn and glance playfully at each other.
In Italy, I do a little dance.
You're gonna steer that for us, right?
Yes, chef.
Just you and me. Why don't we take a chance and do the
Don't forget to reduce the sauce a little, okay?
You're crossing the line, sweetheart.
No.
Yes, you are.
Mm-mm.
Look, your spoon's in my territory.
Look, I can't help if your reduction's a little thin. I have to say something.
I will talk. Your sirloin's got lumps.
You're out of your mind.
She tastes it with her little finger.
It's perfect.
I'll be the judge of that.
Nick puts a hand to the back of Kate's neck and kisses her passionately. She throws her arms around him and pulls him to her. Beyond the couple is a small, homely and packed restaurant.
You're right, it is perfect.
Zoe runs up to the kitchen counter. Kate serves up pancakes.
Voila.
Zoe sprinkles sugar.
Oh, that's enough.
Carrying the plate away, Zoe greets Leo with her baby. Zoe exits the corner restaurant, which has a red door and windows. She carries the plate to one of several busy alfresco tables. She delivers the pancakes to Sean, who's with his twin boys. A joyful Zoe leaves the trio to their breakfasts and passes back around the corner of the restaurant, acknowledging an elderly man who considers a leaflet. Above the man in a window is a triangular sign, bordered in red with a fixed black center, which reads Bistro. Each side of the triangle contains a name written in white. Now back inside the restaurant, Zoe stands up at the window and turns the triangle so that Zoe's name runs across the top, and Nick and Kate are down the other two sides. ITFC audio description by Jennifer Hill and Gregor Hunt was read by Jennifer Hill. Directed by Scott Hicks. Screenplay by Carol Fuchs. Produced by Kerry Hayson, Sergio Aguero. Executive producers Susan Kotsonis and Bruce Berman. Based on the original screenplay entitled Mostly Martha by Sandra Nettelbeck. Director of photography Stuart Dryberg. Production designer Barbara Ling. Edited by Pip Carmel. Co-producer Mary Jo Winkler-Yoffreda. Music by Philip Glass. Costumes designed by Melissa Toth. Music supervisor, John Bissell. Casting by Ronna Kress, CSA. Yeah. Unit production manager, Mary Jo Winkler-Yoffreda. First assistant director, Jeffrey Wetzel. Second assistant director, Peter Soldo. Cast, Kate, Catherine Zeta-Jones. Nick, Aaron Eckhart. Zoe, Abigail Breslin. Paula, Patricia Clarkson. Leah, Jenny Wade. Therapist, Bob Balaban. Sean, Brian F. O'Byrne. Bernadette, Lily Rabe. John, Eric Silver. Christine, Araya Barikis. Mr. Peterson, John McMartin. Mrs. Peterson, Celia Weston. Charlotte, Zoe Kravitz. Ken, Matthew Rauch. Anna, Dibbler Malloy. School Principal Ellen Parker, Stephanie Berry. Doctor, Matt Savito. Truffle Dealer, Yevgeny Dekchar. Fish Vendor Bob, Fulvio Sasser. Vegetable Vendor, Aiko. Lobster Vendor, Frank Santarelli. Line Cook Arden, Arden Lewis. Line Cook AJ, AJ McLeod. Line Cook Mario, Mario Morales. Liz, Monica Trombetta. Mr. Matthews, Sam Kitchen. Rest Steakman, Rob Leo Roy. Sous Chef Applicants, Brian Luna, David Weir, Joey C, Roxana Hope. Ken's Wife, Catherine Sigismund. Waiter, James DeRace. Waitress, Jeannie Omlor. Sean's Twins, Noah Petrosky, Nicholas Petrosky. Rare Steak Woman, Glorka Simons. Leah's Husband, Patrick Zeller. Mrs. Matthews, Gretchen Weiss. Carlos, Ramon Fernandez. Busboys, Angel Rosa, Ignacio Heredero, Albert Martinez. Chalk Artist, Hani Shahada. Produce Customer, Akira Takayama. Delivery Guy, Henry Kwon. Stunt Coordinator, G.A. Aguila. Additional Stunt Coordinator, Blaze Corrigan. Stunts, Casey Borerman, Jodie Michelle Pinn, Keith Siglinger, Samantha McIver. Music score conducted and produced by Michael Reisman. Music score recorded and mixed at the Looking Glass Studios. Soundtrack album on Decca Records. This motion picture, copyright 2007, Warner Brothers Entertainment Incorporated, US, Canada, Bahamas and Bermuda. Copyright 2007, Village Roadshow Films, BVI Limited, all other territories. Screenplay, copyright 2007, Warner Brothers Entertainment Incorporated, US, Canada, Bahamas and Bermuda. Copyright 2007, Village Roadshow Films, BVI Limited, all other territories. Original score, copyright 2007, Warner Olive Music, LLC. No Reservations. Distributed by Warner Brothers Pictures, a Time Warner company.